See him in a manger lay, sent to earth, sin's price to pay. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him stand in Pilate's hall. See him take the blame for all. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory. And he will always be my Savior.
See him wear a crown of thorns. See him mocked and laughed to scorn.
He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name.
He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory.
The Lord, man, that's a good song. Glory to God. Well, I'm telling you, any saved person there, I'm telling you, if we believed in running around the auditorium, somebody ought to take a lap or two. But we're not going to do that tonight, all right? Folks, when are we going to get excited about being saved? When are we going to get excited that we are living the best life on earth, the Christian life? Remember, I talked to our morning congregation, so when's the last time you just stopped and just meditated on Jesus for a while? And just thought about what he's done for you, how much he cares for you, what he's provided for you? Just think about that for a minute. Man, I'm telling you, any sincere, born-again child of God ought to get excited just to take a few moments a day and just meditate on Jesus and what he's done for us. Thank you, guys, for the song. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness and dedication to serving the Lord. I hope that you'll be in prayer. We've got many of our folks that are out. We've got people out with kids and vacation, spring break, things like that. So I hope that you'll be in prayer for many of our folks that are out this evening. Take your Bible, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is on Sunday night. For those of you that are visiting, we are in on Sunday nights studying about Christian character and personal character. Our theme this year is character under construction, conforming to the image of his son, conforming to the image of Christ. Our Little Lambs Choir quoted that verse, Romans 8:29, just a moment ago. That's kind of our theme for the year. Been talking about character qualities on Sunday night. We're going to look at one tonight, Philippians chapter 2, two verses, if you would, and then I'm going to use an Old Testament illustration to illustrate this particular character quality. Would you stand with me, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read two verses, together verses 20 and 21. Please remember when you read together that you pause at the punctuation marks. Philippians 2, verses 20 and 21. Let's read together. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ, Jesus Christ's. Paul, writing here, is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's commending to them, if you'll notice in verse 19, he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. He said, because he's the only guy that's like-minded. He's the only guy, listen to me now, he's the only guy that's available. You hear me? He's the only guy that's made himself available to go and minister to the needs of these dear saints. And I want to take these verses tonight, church, and I want to speak to you on this character quality, the call for availability. The call for availability. Now, Father, meet with us tonight, we pray, and we'll give all the glory and praise to you for what you'll do in our hearts tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. God is not looking for the most talented. God is not looking for the most likely to succeed. God is not looking for the most wealthy of people. Listen to me. God is looking for availability. Hey, listen, God's so hard up these days, He'll use just about anybody. He'll use just about anybody that'll make themselves available to do something for God. Webster's defines availability as this. He said it's ready and present for immediate use. Ready and present for immediate use. Willing to assume responsibility. Hey, God uses servants that make themselves ready for immediate use when He calls on them. Can I ask you tonight, Trinity Baptist Church member, are you available? Are you available when God calls? When God initiates a need, are you available? When someone in the church is going through a hard time, are you available? When someone's struggling financially, are you available? Hey, I'm just asking tonight. God's calling, and what He's looking for, He's not looking for the talented, the successful, the most likely to succeed. He's looking for availability. He's looking for people who are ready to be used immediately without having to give them specific orders. You know, we find a lot of people in the Bible that made themselves available. First of all, in Genesis 22, the Scripture says in verse number 11 there that God called Abraham and He said, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I, available. He was available. Over in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 2, God called Jacob. You know what He called, said to Jacob? Jacob, Jacob. Just like He said to Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And in Genesis 46, He said, Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob said, here am I. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 4, remember God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush and He said, Moses, Moses. And He said, here am I. Here am I. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God called out to a young man, a young boy. And that tells me, young people and teenagers, that teenagers can likewise be available. Young people can be available to the things of God. And when God called young Samuel, He said, here am I. And then we know in Isaiah, God appeared to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and He manifested Himself and called Isaiah. And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. You know what that is? It's called availability. These people were available when God needed them. You see, most of us practice the spirit of availability every day. For instance, we're available on our job, right? We're available on our job. Most of us will come in early, stay late, and never think anything about it because we love our job. It's our livelihood. The boss says, hey, can you come in an hour early? Sure, boss. Can you stay an hour late? Sure, boss. And never complain one time about it. Why? Because we want to be available. We want to be available. Hey, most of us will transfer around the country, travel great distances on our job. Why? Because we want to be available. Most of us will work overtime without any extra pay and never complain one time about it. Why? Because we want to be available. We want to be available on our job, because let me tell you something. You know what we found out? We found out on our job that availability means responsibility, which normally means promotion. You hear me? That's what it normally means. People who are not available on their job normally don't find a promotion. You see, we're available on our jobs. Hey, we're available to our hobbies. We're available to our hobbies. Can I say, no matter what the cost is, we don't even consider the cost as long as we enjoy it. I tell you one thing, I shiver every season after I get finished with hunting season to see how much money I've spent on my hunting excursions. Now, my wife, she makes a very good point, but I enjoy it so much. She said, honey, for all that money that we're spending on hunting, we could have bought not one side of beef, five sides of beef. We could have filled five freezers up. Man, that hurts. Doesn't that just hurt you to the heart, Brother Garner? It just pierces me right in the heart. But you know why? I never look at the cost, because I enjoy it. Because I make myself available to that hobby. And I never even look at the cost involved. Why? Because I love it. I love hunting. I love it. It's a kind of a release for me. You see, most will take time off to involve themselves in their hobby. Most people don't think anything about taking time off to go hunting, fishing, golfing, whatever it may be. Why? It's a hobby. We give ourselves to it. We make ourselves available to it. Most will not be stopped, regardless of the economy, the time, or the weather. Why? Because we're available to our hobbies. And maybe, listen, it does a perfect illustration. I came down here. Remember, it's been raining the last few days. I mean, today and yesterday, torrential rains. I was driving down Fielder making some visits yesterday. There were people in the pouring rain playing soccer right down here at Dunlop Park. I'm talking about in the pouring rain. And I thought about what I was going to preach tonight, and I thought, now these people have made themselves available to their hobby. And you know what? The weather wasn't going to stop them. Hey, the elements weren't going to stop them. The timing wasn't going to stop them. Hey, what I'm saying to you, church, is we do make ourselves available. We make ourselves available in our jobs. We make ourselves available to our hobbies. Hey, listen to this now. Many of us make ourselves available to our friends. We'll make ourselves available to our friends. Hey, most of us will rearrange our schedule to accommodate our friendships. Somebody calls us up and say, hey, listen, you want to go shoot ball? Well, you know what? I really got to do this, but you know what? I'm going to go and I'll just do that tomorrow. Many times we want to be available and we'll rearrange our schedule to go do something with our friends. Most of us will sacrifice valuable time to meet the needs of our friends. Most of us dedicate ourselves wholly to our friendships. Listen very carefully. We practice availability as part of our daily lives. It's just we make ourselves available to what's really important to us. That's what we make ourselves available to us. Listen to this. Priorities dictate availability. Priorities dictate availability. Whatever's priority to me at that time, usually is what I make myself available to. If the guys want to go play ball, and that's priority to me right then, and God knows I need the exercise, you know what I'll do? I'll make myself available. I'll rearrange my schedule. Why? Because of priority. Hey, this is how most of us live each day. I hate to touch on a sensitive subject here. But you know, for those that are hooked into the Mavericks, or they're hooked into the Cowboys, or they're hooked into the Rangers, or some other athletic team, and that's priority to go see them, listen, we'll rearrange everything we have to make sure that we keep that commitment. Why? Because we become available to that which is priority to us. Now let me ask you, why do you think some people don't make themselves available? Why are some of God's people, when God speaks, they're unavailable? I think I've got my finger on the pulse of some of it. Here's what I think some of it is. First of all, I think too many of God's people are attached to the world. Turn, if you would, keep your place there, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Turn over, if you would, there to 1 John chapter 2. And verse number 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen, for those of you that may be new to Christianity, he's not saying that you can be saved and lost. Okay, that's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is people who love the world that don't have the love of the Father in them, what he's saying is they're not available. He says people that are so attached to the world are not available when God speaks because they're too busy attaching themselves to things that aren't going to amount to a hill of beans once it's all said and done. That's all he's saying there. People get too attached to the world. That was Israel's problem. Did you notice that? Israel's problem was they were always attached to the world. Remember we learned this morning, one of their problems is they always look back where? Always look back to Egypt. Always. When you go and find Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, anytime, by the way, they didn't always tell the truth either. Remember, they said, listen, you brought us out here in the wilderness, there's no water and bread. That was a lie. There was water and bread because God was providing it. But what I'm saying to you is Israel seemed to always be guilty of having a contact and connection with the world. They could not get their mind off Egypt. They could not get their mind away from what it used to be like. But listen to me, what was back in Egypt? It was captivity. It was taskmasters. It was heartache. And yet they had such a warped sense of availability that what they did is they looked at that as better than where they were. Listen, there's not a day that I lived in the world as a lost man better than my worst day in Christianity. You see, Israel was always guilty of attaching itself to the world. Unavailability to go in and possess the land, listen, it cost them 40 years of wandering. God says, go in, possess the land. You know what they did? They listened to 10 guys. Two guys that were right with God, they cast them to the side. 10 guys that were not right with God, you know what they did? Those are the guys they listened to. And they didn't go in, and because they were unavailable to go in and conquer the land, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. You see, too many of God's people, maybe even too many Trinity Baptist Church members, have a do not disturb sign on their door. I was in a hotel just recently preaching out, and as I was walking down the hall, I looked on the doors, you know, how that if you don't want the maid to come in clean you, they have a little sign, they just put a do not disturb sign on the door out in the hallway. As I was walking down the hallway, man, they were everywhere. Do not disturb, do not disturb, do not disturb, do not disturb. I think too many of God's people have that on their heart. Lord, don't disturb me. I'm busy now. I'm too busy right now. You know what they're saying? We're saying we're unavailable. Now, I used an Old Testament illustration of Israel, but let me go back to the New Testament and tell you somebody in the New Testament was not available. Demas wasn't. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about it. Demas at one time was available because Paul even mentioned that he was when you go over in Colossians chapter 4. Demas at one time was available. Wait a minute. What was his problem? We come to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And all of a sudden, he went from availability to unavailability. He went from being immediate use for the things of God, and it stopped just like that because of his attachment to the world. You see, I think some of the reason God's people are not available, they're too attached to the things of the world. Our minds are so occupied, folks, with our jobs, where they're so occupied with our hobbies, they're so occupied with our friends, we're so occupied about what we're doing tomorrow. Some of you have already tuned me out because we're so occupied about what's going on in the world, we can't even come to church and enjoy getting anything from God. If you've got a do not disturb sign today, you need to take it off the doorknob. You see, I'm just saying that some of God's people are not available because they're too attached to the world. The next thing here is I think that some people are not available. Some of God's people are not available because they are too hurt from past experiences. They get hurt. Somebody gets burned. They get too hurt from past experiences. And pretty soon, next thing you know, do not disturb. Don't disturb me, God. Cain was this way. Do you know Cain got his feelings hurt? Yeah, he got his feelings hurt. Cain got hurt, and the first thing he did is he turned on God. And all of a sudden, no longer available because he got his feelings hurt. Why? Because God says, I'm not accepting that offering. I'm accepting Abel's offering. And what he did is he got mad, got his feelings hurt, You know what it ended up? Because he was unavailable, that unavailability led to murdering his own brother. You see, I'm telling you, this thing of unavailability and too connected to the world can lead down a path that you're not going to like. That's the reason we need to keep our heart and our spirit in a position to where it's available, so when God calls, we can go. Cain got his feelings hurt. I'll tell you, somebody else that got his feelings hurt too. Esau got his feelings hurt. Now, by the way, listen to me. The reason Esau ended up like he did was part of his own problem. It was just part of his own fault. Hey, he got angry, got hurt because of family issues. But partly of it was his own doing. And because of it, Esau got a bitter heart. And now got the heart and says, if I ever get my hands on that stinking twin brother, I'm going to kill him. He immediately became unavailable. Unavailable. Don't hear much good about Esau. Miriam got her feelings hurt. You know how she got her feelings hurt? Because God judged her because she murmured against the man of God. Now let me stop here and stop right here and say this. You say, was Moses right in marrying the Ethiopian woman? No, he was not. But it wasn't her position to reprimand the man of God. So she took an authority upon herself that was not hers to take. And God, listen, God didn't judge the man of God. He judged the person that murmured against the man of God. And she got her feelings hurt. She's put outside the camp. And by the way, go check me out. Right after this, the next chapter, Miriam dies. You never hear of her again. Why? Because she became unavailable because of murmuring. I'm just saying to you, church, there's reasons that the people of God are unavailable today when God calls. They're too attached to the world. They get hurt from past experiences. Here's the third thing I want you to look at, and that's this. They're too fearful of God's will for their life. They're too fearful for God's will for their life. Take your Bible, go to Exodus 3 with me just a moment. Let me show you something here. Exodus chapter 3. Remember, I said that Moses was one of those guys that was available. God said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. Remember that in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 4? Moses was all for availability in the beginning. Look at it, Exodus 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him, Moses, out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I, I'm available. What is it, God? What do you want from old Moses? What do you want from the old Big Elm here? What do you want from the guy that you can count on? Here's old Moses right here. Remember me? Here am I, Lord. I'm available. Well, God says, wonderful. I'm glad that you're available, Moses. He said, I'm so glad that you have a tender heart and that you're available. He says, here's what I'm going to do. What I'd like to do is I'd like to send you back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And I'm going to have you lead my people out of captivity. Now, wait a minute. Turn over to verse 11. God starts revealing, listen, church, this is important. God starts revealing more of his will to Moses. And he was all available when he heard the voice of God in the beginning stages. But then God says, listen, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. He says, no, listen, he's starting to think now. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean go back to the place that they want to kill me? You mean to go back to the place where some of the people that are in power now are people that I went to school with? Do you realize that there are some people there that know me? And you want me to go back there? God says, that's exactly what I want you to do. Look at what his response is in verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? You see, at first it was, here am I, I'm all available. More of the will of God got revealed, and all of a sudden now he's starting to crawfish in availability. And he says, wait a minute, who am I? Who am I? Well, God already knew who he was. See, now more of the will of God is starting to come his way, and now he's all of a sudden now becoming less available. And it gets even worse. Go over, if you would, to chapter 4 and verse number 10. Hey, by the way, Moses is all for that availability thing when God says, Moses, Moses, here am I, Lord. Why? Because he was astonished. Let me stop and think with me just a minute. Remember just shortly after you got saved? If God would have told you to charge hell with a squirt gun, you'd have done it. If God would have said, listen, I want you to go witness to the mayor of Arlington, most of you would have done it. Why? You know what? Because you were totally available. That's what Moses was. Moses saw that burning bush. God got a hold of him. He said, Lord, here am I. He said, that's what I want, Moses. He said, I want you to go back to Egypt and set my people free. He said, whoa, who am I? Who am I? You see, keep in mind now, the more the will of God was revealed, the less he became available. Because he began now to see what God wanted from his life. That's the reason, listen church, this is important. That's the reason God don't reveal all of his will to you at once. Because you know what most of us would be? Unavailable. Unavailable. That's the reason we're to live one day at a time. So he tells Moses, he says, listen, I want you to go back. He says, man, what am I going to do? In chapter 4, verse number 2, he says, well, what is that in thine hand? And remember, he shows him and has him cast the rod down. The rod turns into a serpent. He picks it up. Then he tells him, he said, listen, then when you get there, I'm going to have you take that rod, and we're going to turn water into blood. How about that? Now listen, this is starting to get real serious now. I mean, this thing of the will of God, of me going back to Egypt and starting to do all these things and get in Pharaoh's face and tell him, let my people go. This is starting to get serious business now. And listen to me. Listen to what happens now. At first, he's, here am I. The more the will of God's revealed, now it's, who am I? Look in verse 10, chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not. You hear me? Now he's totally unavailable. I can't do this. Go and check me out. He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't even speak. I can't do that. Now listen, when you read down a couple of verses later, tell me what God's feelings were about this whole thing. When he found out, the more the will of God he revealed, the less Moses became available. Go check me out. The Bible says God got angry with him because of his spirit of unavailability. You know why? Because his priorities got all out of whack. You see, it was all, hey, when it was all good old Moses, here am I. And then he started showing him more of the will of God. And he's like, oh, who am I? And then he says, well, we're going to go and we're going to get in Pharaoh's face. We're going to tell him, let my people go. And he says, I'm going to use you to do all these things. He says, oh, I am not. I'm not. And may I say to you this evening, too many of God's people have the here am I, who am I am not attitude. And usually it's all because of the more of God's will that becomes available to you, the more we begin to wane in our availability. You see, availability to many is interpreted as a call to full-time ministry, and that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid, oh, preacher, if I make myself available, God might call me into some type of full-time ministry. Will somebody explain to me, so what's wrong with that? I mean, we look today like the ministry is some kind of curse that comes upon people. There's nothing wrong with making yourself available. Hey, listen, I promise you, if God don't need you, he'll tell you. Hey, there's a lot called, but few chosen. Hey, God's calling everybody to availability. Everybody's supposed to be available. Hey, I'm just saying to you that Moses, the more the will of God that God revealed, he began to be less and less available. Why don't you just let God decide if he wants to use you in ministry? Hey, listen, for the most part, when God wants you to become available, for the most part, many times, he just wants you to become available just to be a Sunday school teacher. He just wants you to be a bus worker. Hey, for some, he just wants you to sing in the choir or go to prayer meeting or be faithful to church or work in the nursery or something. He just wants you to be available. For immediate use. For immediate use. That's the reason I love it when we have opportunities here at our church to reveal things to our church in need. I love it when people volunteer. And I want to say how much I appreciate you volunteering for our ladies to work the nursery for our Spanish ministry so that our ladies in our Spanish ministry can go to the family conference. You know, I didn't have to beg anybody. Boom, 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 had them just like that. You know what? That shows me we got some people that are available. You say, but well, preach, I'd have been available on Monday or on Tuesday and stuff, but hey, I done bought tickets to the game. Well, what's more important, the game or serving God? Hey, man, let's just go ahead and touch on some sensitive things. Hey, you can go on eBay and sell them stinking tickets. Hey, man. Hey, I'm just saying, folks, listen. God just probably, when he's calling and wants you to be available, he just wants you to be available to do something. And for most people, it's something very light in his service. It's not heavy-duty service. He's not asking you to be the church CEO. Hey, he's not asking you to be the departmental superintendent. He's not asking you to do most of us. He's just simply asking, would you sing in the choir? Would you work in the nursery, ladies? Bible college students, would you go preach at the Union Gospel Mission one Monday with Brother Williams? Would you do that? Some of you men, hey, will you go with some of the staff down to the Ellis unit and help us in the prison to try to reach some men that most people could give a flip about? Hey, he just wants available people. Just be available. People normally are not available to the people of God because they're too attached to the world. They get their feelings hurt from past experiences, and then they get too fearful of God's will for their life. Now, I want you to go to Genesis 22. Here's the illustration I want to use tonight, okay, for the heart of the message. That's all just kind of prepped us, kind of get our appetite wet just a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 22, and I want to use this biblical illustration tonight to talk to you about the call of availability. Many of you will recognize this passage when we get there. And it came to pass, verse 1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, Abraham did, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Now stop. Now you listen to me very well. If Abraham had not been available, he would never have gotten this far. And when he came down to sacrifice his own son, he would never heard Abraham, Abraham. Because he was available, the voice said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He remained available from start to finish. And can I say to you, child of God, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to remain available from the start of our salvation to the end of our life. He wants total availability from start to finish in our life. I want you to notice a couple of things here, if I could share these with you tonight, about Abraham. First of all, did you notice here, if we're going to have and answer the call of availability, what we need to be available is this. First of all, we need to be available to God. We need to be available to God. If Abraham would not have been available in verse 1, he would not have heard the voice in verse 11. Unavailable people do not hear nor recognize the voice of God. Let me tell you something. When I was lost without Christ in the world, I wasn't listening for the call of God, were you? I wasn't listening for the voice of God. I wasn't concerned about being available for the things of God. The only thing I was concerned about is being available to me. That's all I was concerned about. And yet Abraham made himself available to God. Now listen to me. This is important. He was in position of availability. Now, we're not going to turn there, but let me take you now years before, back to Genesis 12, and the voice of God came to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he followed God, not knowing where he was headed, not knowing what land he was going to. You listen. If Abraham would have denied availability to God in Genesis 12, there would be no Genesis 22. There would be no patriarch of the faith. You see, Abraham was available to God long before this came. Long before. But he was in a position of availability. Folks, listen to me. Don't even try to convince me that you're available to God and don't attend church faithfully. Don't even try to convince me that you're available to God if you don't attend your local church and support your local ministry for the glory of God. Don't even try to convince me that you're available to God if you don't give your tithes and offerings faithfully. Don't convince me. Don't even try to convince me of it. You're not available. Listen, how can a person be available to God if they're stealing from God? They can't be. It can't be. Oh, boy, we're narrowing this thing of availability way down now, aren't we? Hey, do you understand that that's the reason the church is in the condition that it is today around the world? It's because it's filled with people who are not available. There's no availability. And God's calling. And everybody says, do not disturb. That's the reason, folks, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And let me tell you something. Some of you got relatives are going to die and go to hell, and it's going to be your fault. Their blood's going to be on your hands. Why? Because you are not available. You are not available to tell them about the loving grace of Jesus Christ. You say, but preacher, I'm afraid. Hey, you're going to have to get over that fear. There's souls at stake. We've got to be available. He was in a position to be available. So don't tell me that you're available and don't attend church. Don't tell me you're available and don't tithe and give to your church. Listen, don't tell me you're available if you don't spend time in devotion regularly. Don't tell me you are, because you'll never convince me. Never. You see, I used to work in management in the secular world before I got saved. It was like sometimes pulling hen's teeth, Brother Barnett, to get anybody to stay 15 minutes, and I was willing to pay them for the 15 minutes. You couldn't even get them to stay 15 minutes, Brother Bob, anymore. They're like, hey, I got things to do, man. They punched out, boom, they're gone. And listen, I want you to listen. I'm not trying to boast you. I'm just telling you what happened. I got hired on to this company right out of high school at 18 years old. By the time I was 21, I was in management, and I was over people that had been with the company 10 years or more. Now listen, they got mad, but let me tell you, I was just a young man, and I looked at this, and I saw the reason that these people were not being promoted is they never wanted to come in early, they never wanted to stay late, and they certainly were not available when management needed them to be available. So guess what? They stayed right where they were. And let me tell you something. I was a 21-year-old, and man, I got talked to like a dog, man, by some people that had been in this company for 10 years. And all of a sudden, I was their boss. They didn't like that. But you know what? The only thing I can attribute it to is I was just available. I was just available. And that's what Abraham was. He was in a position of availability. Let me say next, he did not run from God's will. He did not run from God's will. Look at chapter, are you there with me? Look if you would, 22, verse 2. Genesis 22, verse 2. And he said, God did, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, listen to this now, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, let me show you a difference here. The difference between Abraham and Moses was the more that God revealed the will of God for Abraham's life, Abraham never went through the who am I or the here am I, who am I am not stage. Never went through it. Now think about this with me for just a minute. He didn't run from God's will. And buddy, let me tell you something. God laid it on thick because he said, I want your boy now. I want your son. And I want you to take him and sacrifice him and offer him to me as a burnt offering. You say, what is that, preacher? I don't have time to develop that, but you can go back and check out what a burnt offering was. They didn't go and take him somewhere. He wasn't going to a carnival. They weren't going to a cookout. They were going there to offer his only son as a sacrifice before God. Now let me tell you something. I wonder if that's what God wanted from some of us today. If we'd say, here am I, Lord, or if we'd say, I am not. I'm not. You see, most of us aren't available when the road gets tough, when the rubber meets the road. Hey, he was told to sacrifice his own son. And did you notice he had to travel to do it at his own expense? The best I could see, he didn't turn in the expense receipt or expense report and get reimbursed for it. Brother Bob, he had to travel at his own expense to get there. God said, this is where I want it to happen, and he had to go at his own expense because he took some other people and he had to feed them too. He had to care for them too. And let me tell you something. The price of water was high for them camels in that day. We gripe today. Well, I'm sorry, preacher, I can't come. The price of gas. Well, then let me ask you this. I don't want to see you at a Rangers game either. I don't want to catch you at a Mavericks game when I'm there, because if you are, I'm going to say, you know what? You don't really believe that. I thought you said gas prices were too high. No. Listen to me. Priority dictates availability. Priority dictates availability. You see, he didn't run from God's will. Now, I don't know if this happened, but this is my opinion. His wife, Sarah, can you imagine him going in and say, honey, God spoke to me in my devotion time, and God wants me to take our boy with me on a trip. Well, honey, where are you going? Well, it's kind of difficult to explain this. Well, go ahead, try. What does God want with our boy? Well, he wants me to sacrifice him. He wants our son. No! Not our boy! Yeah, that's what God wants. You say, preacher, did that happen? I don't know if that happened, but can you imagine if he had to explain it to his wife? That he was going to take the boy and he was going to sacrifice him before God Almighty? You see, he didn't cow down when God's will was revealed more and more. The reason we have so many I am nots is because people are afraid of the will of God. They fear God's will. They fear response from family members. They fear other people. But you know what? Abraham stood up. He didn't run from God's will. And he was in a position of availability. And let me tell you something else he was. He didn't have to know all the details to be available. He didn't have to know all the details to be available. Genesis chapter 12, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't say, now listen here, this is where you need to go. You need to take I-45. You need to go down here to about Buffalo, hang a right, go highway here, turn left, go. Didn't give him instructions. Listen, he just said, listen, I'm calling you out, sir. And Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and now we find him still available. He was available in Genesis 12, not knowing exactly where he was going. And listen, he didn't even know where he was going here. God says, get thee up. And God said, I will show thee. I'll show you where you're going. God, listen, that's what we desire. That's what the desire of every believer ought to be today. Lord, you lead me. You see, we've decided today that our availability to God will be determined on how much information he's willing to give us. And if God, if you'll just give me the information, then I'll let you know if I'm available or not. Now, listen to me, folks. That is totally contrary to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it is impossible to please him without faith. Hebrews 11:6. Hey, all I'm saying to you is we've got to be available. Abraham was available, and he didn't have to have all the information to make himself available. See, I just thought we were supposed to live a life by faith. I thought Christianity was built on faith. And that's how Abraham lived. But he was available to God. Here's the next thing I noticed. Go back to Genesis 22. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, Abraham, shut up. Don't you know I'm busy? Don't you know I got things to do, son? Just get back there and carry the wood. I got a lot of things on my mind. I can't talk to you today. See, he was not only available to God, he was available to his family. When that boy spoke, you know what he said? Here am I, son. Here am I. And he listened to that boy's question. Lord, our father, We got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the burnt offering? Hey, that's a logical question, right? We're going to a sacrifice. We got everything, but where's the sacrifice? And you know what? He never told that boy it was him. But you know what he did say? He said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's the reason at the end of this story, you'll hear that he called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. You see, he didn't have to have all of the information to be available. But he became available to God. And then notice he was available to his family. Listen, marriages could be saved if we were just more available. Children could be more obedient and compliant. Parents, if we were just a little more available. I want to say to you, married couples, first of all, give your spouse the time and respect they deserve. And I just want to talk to us men just for a second. Men, if your wife has borne you children, or even if they haven't, they still deserve your availability for putting up with you. Amen. Hey, if my wife didn't bear me five children, listen, I would owe her the respect just because she had to put up with me. That's hard, brother. You know something, guys? I think if we look at ourselves in the mirror, most of us are hard to put up with. Hey, ladies, if he's been good to you, and even if you feel that he hasn't, he still deserves your availability and love. Give your spouse the time and respect they deserve. And I want to say to those of us that have been married for a while, sometimes the older we get, the longer we're married, sometimes the less available we become. Amen. You know why? Because we're stubborn. And we get set in our ways. And pretty soon, you know what? Nothing else matters around me except what's going on in my world. And those of you that have been married for a while, you got to fight that. Because what happens is it rears its ugly head. But Abraham was not just available to God, he was available to family. He was available to his spouse. Listen to me. Give your children the gift of availability. Give your children the gift of availability. Parents live in fear of their children rebelling these days. Parents live in absolute, they're petrified about their kids rebelling. Let me give you a formula. You say, they say, oh, I've got to have them in church. I got to have them under preaching. And listen, that is good, but you listen very carefully to me. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship, that relationship is availability. You've got to be available. You've got to be available to answer questions. You've got to be available to love them. You listen, they need to be there. You need to be there with them and tuck them in bed at night and tell them how much you love them and how important they are. You cannot have a relationship without availability. Give your children the gift of availability. Parents live in fear of their kids rebelling. Be available to love them, talk with them, play with them, spend time with them. Children don't need invisible parents. They don't need ghost parents. Back in my day, the kids that stayed at home with no parents there, they used to call them the little turnkey kids. Remember, they used to wear the key around their neck. You see, in all actuality, parents, your children do want to learn. They do want to be corrected. They do want to be disciplined. Listen, they do want to live a structured life. Though they may not say they do, they really do. They absolutely want to live a structured life. Who's going to cause that to happen? Parents that are available. And then can I say, give your family the blessing of a Christ-centered home. Give your family the blessing of a Christ-centered home. Have a time of Bible study and prayer. Have a time of service together. Find something around the church. You say, well, preacher, we want to serve God as a family. Wonderful. Then let's get with the program. Hey, there's all kinds of places in ministry where the whole family can serve together. Whole family can do it. So, listen, find a place to serve through your local church and you can serve together. How about a time of blessing to others? One of the things we used to do when all of our kids were at home is my wife is an absolute expert at this, okay? Expert, professional at this, is seeing a need and then being able to find some way, somehow, to meet that need. She's an expert at it. And she used to take our kids and she would do different things with our kids, whether it be the next door neighbors or somebody at church. And they would bake something. The kids would bake cookies and she would take them over there and give them cookies. Or they would draw pictures. Our granddaughter, she'll take and draw pictures and stuff. Somebody that's not feeling good. And my wife will have her sit down and write a card or draw a picture or something. And she loves zebras. And almost all of her pictures are of zebras. But she'll have her do that. Why? Looking to be a blessing to others. Why? We're trying to teach her to be available. To be available. Abraham was available to God. Abraham was available to family. And then let me hit the last one real quick here. If we want to be, if we want to be available, be available to God, be available to family. Number three, be available to others. Be available to others. We don't have time to look at anymore at the life of Abraham, but you know what? Abraham was totally available to others. Remember old Lot? Old snake. He was available to Lot. Listen, he was available to Lot. He just told Lot, you just pick what you want, I'll take the rest. You know what that is? That's a spirit of availability right there. Abraham was available to others over and over and over. But can I say to you tonight, church, Christ commissioned us as a child of God to be available to others just like he was. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. He said, just as I came to be available, I want you to be available. You see, that so send I you was a commission to availability. Christ was the most available person to ever walk the face of the earth. First of all, be available to sinners. Be available to sinners. Remember old Nicodemus? Would somebody help me out now? When did Nicodemus come to Jesus? Did you notice it never said what time of night? You say, well, what time of night was it? I don't know, but it was at night sometime. And you know what? I wonder if somebody came and knocked the door. Oh. We go to the door, and it's some kid. He says, hey, I'm from the so-and-so club. I'm out in that. I'm eating. Can't believe that kid. And we go back, and the Holy Spirit's going. So you finally get back to your dinner table about 10 minutes later. It's the kid across the street that didn't know the other kid knocked on your door. And you... Oh, wait a minute, my door's over here. And you go over and you open the door, and it's another kid holding a plastic container. He says, listen, I'm from so-and-so, and so and I'm selling this and selling that. Make yourself available to sinners. Nicodemus came by night. This afternoon, my wife illustrated my point perfectly. We were in there this afternoon. We were sitting there chit-chatting, spending a little family time. Knock came at the door. My wife said, wonder who that could be. She goes to the door. Opens the door, it's a kid holding a plastic container. And you know how they'll go through, you can't get it word in edgewise because they got to get their spiel out. And so he gets it all out and he says, and only for a $10 contribution, you can have your choice of these chocolate turtles or cucumber melon candle. Now, listen to me. The stuff in that container, he probably got at Dollar Tree. But that wasn't the point. My wife said, well, let's see what you got. I told you she's a professional. And so she began to look through this, and this kid's showing him this and this and this. And you know what my wife does? My wife was cultivating something here. And she said, I think I might like the candle, but she held on to that money. But before we do this, let me ask you something. Do you go to church anywhere? And they began, I was listening. They began to count. And listen, it's just a few minutes, my wife was able to win that boy to Christ at the door. Why? Available. Available. You see, we need to be available to sinners. Next, we need to be available to discourage Christians. We need to be available to discourage Christians. Listen, Paul made a ministry of this. He was available to discouraged Christians. That's the reason he told the churches at Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Doesn't stop there, does it? If we faint not. He said, you got to stay available from start to finish. Abraham was available from start to finish. Weariness of the work causes discouragement. Trials of life cause discouragement. Personal failures and sin causes discouragement. I understand that, but you got to remain available. Well, let me give you one more. Jesus was not only available to sinners, he was available to discourage Christians, just like we ought to be, but be available to hurting Christians. Remember John 11? The word came to Jesus that Lazarus was dying, very sick. And you know what the Lord did, Brother Scott? He intentionally, on purpose, stayed until Lazarus died. I can't believe it. He did that on purpose. So he shows up. Were there hurting people, Miss Martha? Oh, yes. They went and fell down and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, tears running out, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. No, Lazarus was going to die anyway because Jesus was going to let him die. You see, Jesus became available to hurting people. He became available to Mary and Martha and raised their brother from the dead. He became available to Mary Magdalene, whom he cast out devils. He became available to the woman caught in the act of adultery and said, where are thine accusers? Don't know, Lord. He said, then go sin no more. He made himself available to Nicodemus. He made himself available to Zacchaeus. Listen now, he made himself available to a backslidden apostle. Remember, old Peter, I go a-fishing. Oh, we go with thee also. Guess who showed up on the Sea of Galilee on the shore? Have you any meat? Hey, caught anything? No, hadn't caught anything. Well, cast your net on the other side then. Now listen, when they did that, they thought, man, we ain't felt this tug all day. And immediately, wait a minute. We've seen this before. We've seen this kind of availability before. We've seen this kind of miracle before. Oh my goodness, it's the Lord. And they went to shore, and listen to me, there on that seashore, in John chapter 21, God made himself available to a backslidden apostle. And can I say something to you today? Jesus was the most available person to ever walk the face of the earth. And you know what his commission to us tonight is? As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know what that commission is? It's a commission and a call to availability. Would you bow your heads for just a moment tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm a child of God, I'm saved. No question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm not even ashamed of it. I'm going to show the Lord tonight, not ashamed of it. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, would you please meet with us tonight? Would you open our hearts?